least you claim me as your brother. You weren't that disappointed that I was speaking my thanks. All right. First off, I want to start off with this question. Well, it's going to be a two-part question. First part of the question is, what are some things that you fear? This is an interactive part of the sermon. What are some things that you fear? Name something that you fear. Anything. Spiders, bugs, mother-in-laws. Okay. Notice neither your mother or mother-in-law are in here right now. So, all right. Oh, there she comes. Never mind. Sorry. She did hear you. But we have fears. Everybody has fears. We come across fears all the time in life. We grow up with fears. Many fears are built throughout years. Some things we don't even fear because of any kind of reality or experience. We fear because of other people's reality or what they've told us. I think I've used this example before. I've told this story. My wife absolutely hates how the bed has to be made in our house or when we go on vacation, because I cannot have the blanket or sheets tucked in by my feet. And I've told this story before. So when I was a little kid, my brother used to tell me, you can't have your feet covered because if somebody breaks in your house, you have to be able to run. So I never covered my feet. But you have to have a blanket on, because if the aliens come with the tractor beam through the window, the blanket will keep the tractor beam from getting to you. So feet out to be able to run, blanket on so I don't get taken off by aliens. And it's not a fear I have anymore. But the first thing that we do when we go into a hotel room, I say we, me, first thing I do is I untuck the sheets and the covers off the bottom of the bed. And it drives her bonkers. We sleep with two separate blankets. It's a Scandinavian thing. Because I can't have my feet covered up. It was something that was taught to me when I was little, and now I've got to live with it the rest of my life. And I think we all have fears like that that have been built up into our lives so much that we have made them into something completely different than what they really are, what reality says about them. The other thing I want to ask, on the flip side of fear, what makes us excited? Adam, you want to holler out anything now? Okay. What are some things that make us excited? I know there's a lot of Tigers fans in here. Their record right now is, okay, they had a couple losses, but they're still the best record in the AL. Yeah. They still got like a double-digit lead in the Central. We get excited about all kinds of things. Sports get us excited. We get excited about going on trips. We get excited about going on roller coasters. We get excited about going to see concerts or any of the kinds of things like that. But I want to talk tonight where the line gets blurred between fear and excitement. Fear is defined as a natural human emotion triggered by perceived threats, both real and imaginary. It can serve as our flight or flight mechanism, as our impulsive response. It is rational or even irrational to create a powerful self-preservation or debilitating to its own practical or excessive response. Fear triggers sympathetic nervous system releasing stress hormones called adrenaline. To go with that, excitement is defined as a feeling of great enthusiasm or eagerness, a heightened state of energy, feeling the eager or expectation of some things to happen good or nice. Excitement triggers joy or relation, a boost of energy, increased heart rate, and a surge of hormone production by the nervous system called adrenaline. And I think this is important as Christians for us to look at the differences and the similarities between fear and excitement. We can be excited over things that we fear. That creates a form of anxiousness. We get a lot of similarities between those through anxiousness because we may not know the outcome. It's like I've said, I would love to jump out of an airplane and go skydiving. That would make me excited. If I know for a fact my parachute's going to open. If you know your parachute's not going to open, there's nothing to be excited about. It's only fear. It's amazing how the two work so close to each other. They are opposite endings, outcomes, but the emotional response that our body physically goes through is the same. And that creates a lot of problems within a Christian's walk. Overcoming fear can create a sense of excitement. When we're fearful of something and we do it and we overcome it, that creates that happy, excited adrenaline because of a good outcome. However, we can also be really excited about something because of the anticipated good outcome, and it completely falls flat on its face, and therefore we have a fear from ever doing it again. Why is that? Why does it work that way in our lives? We continuously let fear control what we should be excited about, and we continuously let excitement take over what we should fear. What does that mean? Sounds almost like an oxymoron. Quick example of fear control and excitement is in a Christian life. Everybody out here on any given Sunday and been offered the invitation to come forward. And there's a sense of excitement when you know, when you have friends or family or relatives and or kids or whatever, that you know that there's that sense of excitement. Hey, I know they're close to making that decision to come to the Lord. But then the person that's also sitting there, and I was one of them, and as outgoing as I think I am in life, when the invitation came, I sat in my seat and didn't move. It was until after service. Why didn't I move? Well, because it would be awkward to walk up in the middle of service. It would be, here's the catch, it would be awkward to walk up when they ask you to walk up. Right? Isn't that what, I mean, how often, it's not, I'm not saying it's not happened, but how often during the invitation does somebody stand up and come forward? Not very often. It's, they wait until after service, which we read with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Once the Ethiopian eunuch understood, he says, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Acts 8:38, it says there's water, and they went down and down into the water and he was baptized. There was no hesitation. But it's the fear of embarrassment and putting yourself out there, everybody's going to look at me if I stand up and walk forward now. Well, hopefully, but in a positive way. There's the fear of what am I going to say in front of all these people when they ask me, who do I believe Jesus is? Well, you're going to confess. But there's a fear there, so we don't do it. There's an excitement level, but our excitement gets overtaken by the fear because we don't want to be embarrassed. That's just one example. The excitement to become a Christian and everything that comes with it can be overwhelmed by the fear of stepping out of our comfort zone. The fear of embarrassment of being in front of people. The fear of doing something wrong. The fear of making a mistake. The fear of being judged. So many times we just sit and wait until something becomes more convenient or not so many people can see because, well, I don't want to be embarrassed, make a mistake, fail. Excitement can take over fear the same way. We fear, as Christians, sin. Because sin is the only thing that can take us away from God. So there should be a healthy respect, a respectful fear of sin. So when we go places, we want to make sure that we don't fall into sin, because that can be fearful. But excitement can overcome fear, which will lead us to sin. When we watch people, and as example, I'll use gambling. I know Dave used this a month or so ago, talking about being tempted. When you go into a casino, go out to Las Vegas, gambling is not a problem that I have. I can walk through a casino and not be tempted to lay down money on any table, walk by, not a problem. But sometimes it can be for certain people. The excitement of the possible positive outcome of winning money can overcome the fear of doing something wrong, sin, that takes you away from God because now you've got this adrenaline high. Or, let's get into something even more, something that's more personal to me, at least, and bear with me because I know where the first thought's going to be when I say my next line. Drug use. Prescription drugs, thank you. Obviously, I've had a lot of surgeries. One of the most common problems with people that have gone through specifically as many orthopedic surgeries as I had is narcotic abuse. It is really simple to get addicted to narcotics. It's not that hard. When I had back-to-back hip surgeries, this boggles my mind. When I had back-to-back hip surgeries, I had hip surgery 6 weeks, rehabbed for 6 weeks, then another hip surgery. They were 12 weeks apart, hip surgeries. We went into surgery. Parkview does meds to bed, so you don't have to go pick them up, which is great. And Jen tells the nurse, he doesn't need any pain medicine. He still has some from his last surgery. I still had 3/4 of a bottle. She's like, we have to give it. You have to take it with you. If we don't, we can get in trouble. It's like, what? We have to give it to you because they don't want me later to come back and say to them, they never gave me anything to make pain tolerable. So here I am now with 140 some pills of narcotics. That is an easy habit to get into. Why would you continue to take narcotics? Why do we take them? It does away with pain and it makes you feel good. It's a false sense of feeling. Yes, it takes away the pain. That doesn't mean the pain's not there. It masks it so you don't feel it. And narcotics create all kinds of other feelings so you feel good. So why do people get into drugs knowing they're wrong? Because it creates a false sense of excitement. Yeah, it's sin to continue to go down that road, but it feels so good. So that's where excitement can overcome fear. And those are things that we really need to be careful about. And this happens both ways because of common physical feelings from the releasing of adrenaline and both circumstances that can then blur the lines between fear and excitement. Isaiah 41:10 says, we're going to hit a couple verses here real quick. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then in 1 Peter 5:6-7 it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I chose 1 Peter 5:6-7 not because chronologically in the Bible it's last, but I chose it to be last because I like the part where it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." All three verses talk about giving your feelings over to God. Let God be in control. Let God take away your fears. Find your peace in God. The only way to do that is through humility. Understanding that without God, I am nothing. I don't have to be afraid of sin separating me from God if I've never become part of his kingdom to begin with. If I've never put on the blood of God, I don't have to worry about being separated from that blood. But I have to be humble enough to put myself in a situation that the fear of personal embarrassment, the feel of personal discomfort, the fear of getting out of my own comfort zone is taken away from me because the excitement of being part of something that the Lord has created is so much greater than any fear man can create for himself. And that's where those lines get blurred for us so many times for as far as involvement. I don't want to get involved because I don't really know what I'm doing. Well, neither did anybody else before they got involved. I don't really want to get involved. I'm not really great in front of people. Well, you don't ever get good in front of people until you start getting in front of people. I don't really want to get involved because that's just not my thing. Well, being part of the church, doing work in the kingdom, better be part of your thing. If it's not, then we really need to reevaluate what we're doing. All of these commonly talk about God or the Lord taking care of us and our fears, but then on its own, that can create a full sense of excitement. Once we give our fears and cares to God, we have so much to be excited about. Such as the example I used earlier about alcohol. Paul addresses the church in the church of Corinth, and in the verse that we're all familiar with in Romans 6:1, says, shall we sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. But I think too many times that adrenaline rush that we get overtakes the fear, because this doesn't feel bad now, because you're getting that false sense of excitement. You're getting that excitement out of something man-made. You're getting that excitement from alcohol, drugs, gambling, anything that takes you away from God and creates a separation, and you're getting a false high from it. You continue in because, well, it feels good. And then we start, the problem with that is then we start justifying our sins because, well, I know so-and-so does this, and if they do that, then that means I'm okay doing this. And then we just keep going down a rabbit hole further and further and further, and we can find all kinds of things to justify because of what somebody else does and how this makes me feel. But with that said, I also think it's incredibly important for us to understand, at the same token, we each and every one of us have issues. Each and every one of us make bad decisions. Each and every one of us have got caught up in excitement and have gone away from God because of the way it's made us feel, whatever it is we've partaken in. And I think, therefore, we should have the ability individually to maybe show a little more grace when we see somebody else in the same situation. Maybe we should be that grounding rock that they can come back to through our walk with Christ. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Too many times when we're getting ready to do something, we like to leave God behind. Well, I'm not at church. I'm not around these people. I don't have to pack him on this trip. When in reality, I think more often than not, we need to make sure I'm not going to be around people from the faith. I'm not going to be around people from church. I'm not going to be around my close friends. I need God now more than ever. He should be the first thing I pack up and take with me. Because I think we get out into the world and it's easy. It's easy when you're away from here and away from everybody you know to get caught up in the world. Because we can lose focus. Because we don't have that constant reminder of the people around us that help keep us on track. Because we can't do it on our own. We need God to be with us. And collectively as a family, as a church family, it's our responsibility to be there for each other. I hope there are those that are there for me, have been there for me. And I hope that I can be there for those who are in need as well. Not to be a jerk and say, hey, what are you doing? You're messing up. But to be that loving person and be like, hey, what can I do to help? Because we all need help. We all need that refocus. We all need that reminder that God is with us wherever we go. So how does excitement play into our struggles with fear? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in verse 19, it goes on to say, we love him because he first loved us. The word love gets thrown around so much in our own society. And I have no problem admitting I use it in times I probably shouldn't. I love Miami Hurricane football. I don't love Miami Hurricane football the way I love my kids. Obviously, I love Miami Hurricane football more. Okay, maybe not more, but as much. Okay. There is a sense of love that creates excitement. We get so wrapped up in something outside of God that then becomes our God. It becomes a false God to us because we let it overtake priority in our life. When we talk about false gods, we like to look back at, you know, you can look back at Greek mythology. And you talk about Zeus and Hades and all the gods that the Romans and the Greek mythology have. And those are what we like to think about with false gods and false idols. But in reality, it's anything that we put between us and God, anything that we're going to put in place of love for God, the way God intended love to be, for us to replace that with whatever. That whatever then becomes that false idol or that false God in our life. Why does it do that? Because we get so excited or we get so wrapped up in something that we let it consume us because of the adrenaline rush it gives us. And for all of us, it's different things. It can be different things for each and every one of us. The struggles I have may not be the same struggles Tim has, may not be the same struggles Adam has. My mother-in-law is great. She's in here, I have to say that. Yeah. We have different struggles, but we, being different people, can help each other out. Because what's great is we also have different strengths. We need to understand our own strengths, and many times we need to ask for help. We need not let that excitement take our focus off of that fear of separation. We need a healthy fear of separation from God, a respectful fear. There is a lot of excitement about love, the love the Lord has for us, the love that we have for Him. What He can do for each one of us is exciting. The relationships that we have, the love of a husband and wife, the parents, their kids, vice versa, the friendships that we have with each other, the love and bond that holds us together is exciting. Why do we like getting together with each other? Why do we like doing things with each other? Because it's fun. If you don't like getting together with anybody, you're probably not inviting people to get together with you. But we do get together because it's fun. We enjoy it. It's exciting. It's something that we look forward to because we believe there will be a positive outcome by being together. And therefore, we get that adrenaline rush. But do we let sin pull us away from that? And do we get focused on problems with each other versus positives with each other? Do we get caught up in the excitement of knowing something that somebody else doesn't? And then we let fear overcome us and take away from our excitement from being together. I know Dave has used this before and I as well. I'll just bring it up. It's because obviously it's public knowledge now that I said it on a podcast. But if you listen to Dave and Josh's podcast, one of the things I talked about with physical loss is my fear of picking up chairs. Believe it or not, I fear what all of you think of me. That's a scary thought. Some of you showed up not knowing I was speaking tonight, but I cannot physically pick up these chairs anymore. I can't do it. I will never be allowed to lift more than a gallon of milk, essentially 8 pounds, more than my shoulder height. That's never going to happen again. So when everybody's around here picking up chairs, I fear that people are standing there looking at me, why is that guy so lazy? And I can admit that. And it's not something that I like to admit, but it's something that I can admit because it's also something that I don't like to admit that I physically just can't do either. So then in my own mind, I work this all up in me that I feel horrible because I can't do it. So therefore, Tim looks over at me, and I know Tim's thinking to himself, man, Derek is so lazy. So then I see Tim talking to Renita, and I know Tim's telling Renita how lazy I am. And then Renita goes to work, and she sees somebody we rent cars to, and be like, oh, you know him? Yeah, he's lazy. And then I work this whole thing up in my mind, so the next time somebody rents a car for me, they don't want to talk to me anymore because I'm lazy. I've got a whole situation worked out in my mind. I've been so mad at Renita so many times, and... But I think we do that out of fear because that is, unfortunately, sometimes how egotistical are we to think that that's what the conversation is that Tim is having with Renita because I happened to see him look in the general direction that I was standing, so he had to have been thinking about me. That's when fear overcomes excitement. Now I don't want to be around him. Now I push him away because of what I fear versus my excitement of what should be bringing us together, which is the Lord. We've got to be careful with emotions and feelings. James 1:4 and 1:12 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life for which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Patience and enduring temptation go hand in hand. I think we all need a little more patience, understanding. Somebody told me yesterday at work, he was going on, he was very upset with us because we were charging him money for his car rental. But anyway, he kept arguing, and I finally just, I kind of just made the comment, this is what you're being charged, I'm done arguing with you. And then the other guy that's with him says, hey, hold on, well, he's had a bad day. I'm like, well, I've had a bad day too, and he just made it worse. We always want to make sure that everybody knows how bad our day is, because nobody could be having as bad of a day as what I'm having. It reminds me of the book when I was little, Alexander and a No Good, Very Bad, Horrible, Bad Day, or something like that. Alexander and a Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Everything Alexander made into something horrible. Why? Because he was looking for something horrible in everything he did. And then we get in those situations. And then we let that overtake how we feel. We don't have the patience with each other to understand, you know what? Tim may have had a bad day as I had, or maybe Tim had a worse day than I had. I need to have a little more patience. I need to be able to endure temptations a little bit more and be able to have a little bit more patience and time to think things through before I just react and make a decision. Not just with how he's feeling, but with the way I treat him or the way I act. Because the way I treat, and I'm sorry, I'm picking on you tonight, Tim, but the way I treat him doesn't have to be, here's where it gets to be a struggle, doesn't have to be the way I think he should be treated. It better be the way the Lord says as a Christian I should treat him. But too many times I want to do something because of the way he has made me feel, therefore I can justify the way I treat him. Have a little more patience. Endure the temptation a little bit longer. We don't have to, and I understand, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. We don't have to be a jerk all the time. I read that somewhere, and I need to work on that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God doesn't give us something we can't handle. God doesn't give us something we can't handle. God gives us an opportunity to get out of troubled situations if we follow God's will. Many times we don't look to God for that example or that answer because we've got it all figured out. And all that does is takes us further and further away from God because, well, this feels better for me to do it this way. I want to get back to God because I feel good when I'm with God, but I don't want to follow his direction. Those things don't work together. But it's easy for us to say that because it feels good. Many temptations that lead us into sin create some sort of adrenaline rush that we get from being excited about different things. Otherwise, we wouldn't do them. If things didn't feel good, emotionally or physically, we probably wouldn't do them by choice. So most sin that you get involved in, any of us get involved in, I get involved in, is because it feels good on some level, emotionally or physically. It gives the same adrenaline rush as something that I get excited for. So therefore, I've replaced something positive with something negative because it either gives me the same as or even a better adrenaline rush. But we need to make sure, because it's very difficult to walk that line sometimes, we need to fear sin, as I've said, out of a respect because it takes us away from God. But we need to go towards that excitement, adrenaline rush that being part of God gives us. None of us get excited for bad outcomes. By definition, excited means that you're looking or anticipating a good outcome, as we read earlier. But we do get excited about things that may possibly be a good outcome. We look at with a cautious excitement. And that's where we need to be a little more careful with things. We need to look forward to things, but make sure it's still on God's path. Make sure it still lines up with what God's giving us. Make sure it still lines up with what He's taught us. Make sure it still lines up with what we should be doing as a Christian. Otherwise, if we're not doing what we should be doing as a Christian, then we're only going away from God. Jesus even says it's better to be lukewarm than hot or cold. Or it's better to be hot or cold than lukewarm. Sorry, I said that backwards. And if we're standing still, then we're really going backwards many times. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we fill ourselves with the excitement for the Lord every day? Do we fill ourselves with activities for the Lord every day? Do we fill ourselves with activities and actions and participation in God's Word and His kingdom on a daily basis? Do we get up in the morning with the plans for Him first? I know I don't every day. I know I don't every day. And I know many days I don't end looking at His plan. I end the day being excited about going to sleep because I'm tired. Maybe I need to end the day just being thankful I made it through the day and all the blessings that I had through the day, that I have a house and a bed to come home to. But I just take that for granted too often. Maybe I need to end the day being thankful that I had friends to call up or text, or somebody that sent me a funny joke today. Maybe I need to be thankful that I've got friends that I can text, because God has blessed me with so many opportunities to be around so many of those of like precious faith. Maybe I need to be thankful at the end of every single day just because I have breath and I've been given a healthy day. But I don't end my everyday that way. Too many times I end my day just thankful to be done with the day. And I've looked at myself, and I've even writing this together, putting this together, I've looked at myself and thought, how horrible of a feeling is that I'm thankful for certain days, that I'm just glad that I made it through today, and I'm glad it's over. Even on a bad day, we have a whole lot to be thankful for. That doesn't mean we can't have bad days, but that's why we should have each other. If we can fill all that we do in love, which God is love, and God is truth, and we fill ourselves with truth and love, then we receive the joy through the Holy Spirit. That feeling of joy and peace that comes with it creates excitement in our lives. The devil does such a good job of blurring those lines, of giving us a false sense of excitement with so many things that we do in our lives, that we forget about God's path and we want to follow our own path. We need to lean on fellow Christians as much now as we did when we first became a Christian. And even more so, because the further into God's kingdom that we get, the more involved we get in God's kingdom, the more the devil's trying to fight us. If we're not involved in God's kingdom, the devil doesn't care about us, because we're no threat to him. And a lot of times we pray, when somebody gets baptized and is immersed and they become part of the kingdom, we pray that the fellow brothers and sisters that they now have in their life can help uplift them, help build them up, and give them the strength to take on the trials that they are going to go through now. And many times, they're on fire and we need to look to them to light us on fire again. Because somewhere in our walk, our flame has started to diminish, because we've been beaten down so many times that we forget the excitement that we had when we first became a Christian. One of my favorite things about going to kids camp is the excitement that I get from all the kids there. I feel so excited when I get, I'm exhausted, but I'm excited at the end of the week of kids camp, because especially in like looking over at Drake, talking to Drake, we spend a lot of time together at kids camp. They are filling you with their excitement and enthusiasm for the Lord all week long. And there are times that you're like, I can't be tired. If these kids want to keep going, I need to keep going too. And they boost your energy level up in the Lord. And we need to use those around us to do that. Philippians 4:4-5 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice always. Let all men know. This is something that we should be doing constantly. And wouldn't that be great if we spent our time together rejoicing, showing the gentleness and patience that the Lord has asked us to with each other, so that the world could see that we are different, not because we have decided we're going to be different, but because we have a Lord and Savior that's different than anything else they can ever produce. We have a Lord and Savior that He's alive, and therefore we should be living for Him. There's no time to waste with fear when there's work to be done for the kingdom. There's no time to waste on man-made things simply because they make us feel good. We have a Lord and Savior that can make us feel good. We were commanded to do so. It sure would be great if we could share the Lord's gentleness, if we could rejoice with each other in the Lord. That's something to be excited about. That's something that we can have joy. And if we can do that together, we can surely drown out fear in our own lives. God gives us so much to be excited about. But I think it's important that we keep in mind joy, peace, love, when we talk about the good excitement. And God is good. It is wonderful to look at the blessings that we have. But don't squander them out of fear that we may lose them someday. Don't squander them because what others may think. Don't squander the blessings because we're tired. Find contentment in what we have and what has been provided. And through that contentment, we will have happiness, joy, and peace. I'm going to end with this. Philippians 4:8. And we've used this verse many times. But finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And 9 goes on to say, the things with you have learned and received and heard and saw and me, do these. That's Paul speaking, because Paul made himself subjective to God. And he says, and the God of peace will be with you. But we first need to do these things that God has set forth for each and every one of us. We don't have to have fear because we've had somebody that's already overcome fear. What we need to have is a little more Jesus. Thank you.